What's up, everybody? It's Andrea. Today, we travel back in time to season one. Jordy continues his stellar streak with the ladies, and we ask the question, why? Just why? Come nerd out with us.
Welcome to the TNG Podcast, the number one place in the Alpha Quadrant to geek out about all things Star Trek: The Next Generation. I'm your co-host, Charisse.
Hey, I'm your co-host, Andrea. Today, we're breaking down Season 6, Episode 13, Aquiel. This episode was written by Brandon Braga, Ronald D. Moore, and Jerry Taylor. This is like a power trio of like some of the strongest TNG episodes we've seen so far. And this episode was directed by Cliff Bull. So here's the plot. The crew of the Enterprise investigates a mysterious death on a remote station, and Commander LaForge falls for the main suspect or dead person.
Yes.
Not super clear. Anyway, I wrote yawn. What were your initial thoughts on this episode?
This is what I wrote. I just remember this episode being kind of boring and stupid. And following one of my all-time favorite episodes, I'm even less excited about this one.
I know.
But there's a chance that this episode is way better than I remember. So, you know, I'm looking forward to finding out. That's what I wrote in my notes before I hit play.
And how'd you feel after you hit play?
Whew, I felt worse than I did before I hit play. You and I have had this conversation where I'm like, nine times out of 10, if there's an episode where I remember not liking it, 9 times out of 10, I still don't like it. Like, nothing has changed whatsoever. But 1 time out of 10, I'm like, huh, that's not how I remembered it. It's actually not that bad.
Yeah.
This was not the exception to the rule. This was very much the rule.
Chain of Command felt like that for me, where I was like, I'm glad we watched it. I'm glad we reviewed it. The episode, it's still a pass for me because of the torture and I don't like seeing Picard in pain, but it is really deep and it brought about some like great discourse. This one does not.
This one's like not any of the things you just said.
It's not any of the any things. And I just thought, you know, when I was looking back at the end of this episode, I was just like, really irate. We had to watch this one. But
you know what? I'll tell you the truth. Okay, so last week we reviewed Ship in a Bottle, which was the sequel to the Moriarty Sherlock Holmes storyline that was opened up in season two. And so we tend to watch and record our podcast in like couplets. So we'll like watch two episodes, review two episodes, watch two episodes, review two episodes. So these episodes were back to back, Ship in a Bottle and then Aquiel. And looking at that, I was just like, I cannot end on Aquiel. Like, I can't do it. So I actually watched Aquiel first. I took all my notes on Aquiel first. And then, so I got all the bad taste out of my mouth with the episode I actually love. And then I went back and watched Ship in the Bottom. And I was like, yay! And I ended the day with
TNG. Oh my God. See, you know what? That would have made more sense because coming off of Chain of Command and the torture, all that, it's like, okay, it's just more terribleness. It's a different type of terribleness.
It's a different type, yeah.
It's a different type. Like, one is just sort of like a really badly written script and a very badly acted show, like, episode of a show. But, like, Chain of Command was, like, a well-written script. Right. It was just really polarizing.
Great actors. Mm-hmm.
It was just very, very polarizing and disturbing, and it was written to be disturbing, so it, like, landed. Aquiel was just, like, never since season one have I seen an episode that is so awful. Okay, so I did a little background. It was co-written by Brandon Braga, who wrote Power Play. He wrote The Game. He wrote Cause and Effect. Ronald D. Moore is like the godfather of modern sci-fi, right? He wrote Ethics, The Next Phase, Yesterday's Enterprise is a Ron D. Moore. Ronald D. Moore freaking wrote Battlestar Galactica. And you're telling me that you get these two superpowers together and you come up with this?
I wonder if this was maybe like, you know, you have a Venn diagram and it's like the things that they could both agree on that fell in that little tiny pie and it became this. You know what I mean? Like if we had two very strong personalities who had a very clear vision and their vision was so different, if they just like compromised and this is what we got. Like, I wonder if that's what went wrong here, because you can't say it's because of lack of talent. Like, you can't say
no,
that. So we don't know. We don't know what happened. But this is how we're going to break down this episode, because we are already over it. We're gonna talk about this in like three kind of phases or three acts. Okay. So phase one, we're gonna call Lost. We'll tell the whole story about what was lost. Phase two, we'll call Found. Talk about the story of what was found. And then phase three, we're called The Twist. And you know, this might be a short one, so you might not need a snack for this one. And I hope you might need to listen to it twice on your commute to like get the full benefits of one of our podcasts.
I know, because sometimes we go for like an hour and a half, and then sometimes I feel like Justice was one that we did back in season one. That was like, it was like an 18 minute episode. Cause we're like, dude, this was such trash. So
I'm actually, first of all,
I love your idea because the way that I write notes for the podcast is like, I do a beat by beat and I give thoughts and things like that, right? Anything that jumps out at me or some deep dive. So I did that for Aquiel and I'm like, most of it is in all capitals, me just banging on the keyboard. Dear God, why are they doing this to us? So I was like, we don't need to repeat that 40 times. Like just, it's just, it's just really bad anyway. So, okay. Yeah. So the Enterprise has arrived at this communication relay near the Klingon border to drop off some supplies, but the station hasn't responded to any hails. Like things are just seeming kind of weird, you know, way team beams over to figure out what's going on and everything just seems to be kind of going haywire, right? They hear like a banging behind some panels and they move like some panels and figure out like there's a dog hanging out in a Jeffrey's tube, like Beverly's, which is totally weird. And I feel like the biggest crime, forget the like potential murder. The biggest crime is you have a dog that's that big on what essentially amounts to like a studio apartment in space and no room to run that poor thing around. I was like, what the hell, you guys?
Maybe they have a little holodeck somewhere. I don't know.
I hope so. I don't know, though, because it seems like they're just in like a little spacecraft that's big enough for like two people to work in, where I was like barely living space. Yeah,
it's really it's
the
smallest space station known to man. It's like the small outpost. It's got two rooms. It's got a bridge. And that's it.
And that's it. Yeah.
As far as we know. Like
you guys share a bathroom and everything. Yeah, that's what you get. So you know, there's a dog and nobody else is there. It's supposed to be two other people. And I love that Beverly's like, hey, Riker, come check this out. Do you see that little bit of smudge on this metal deck plate? That's the remains of someone. And you're like, wait, what?
someone has been turned into paste.
And this is a little bit of paste that's left over on the floor.
They've been turned into a pink stain. Like, that's all that's left of this person. And you're like, oh, well, I was just like, that's so disturbing. Like, just that level of vaporization of a body. I mean, there's nothing even left. It's just paste. Like, usually when we see a phaser on, like, level 10 or 16 or whatever the level is for dissolving, the whole person dissolves. There's not even a pile of ashes. Like, they cease to exist. So to see, like, a paste on the floor, you're like, what in the world? So there's a paste, and Beverly recognizes there's cellular residue. So this is the remains of someone, but we don't know who. And the cells are, like, fused to the deck plate, so she can't get any good readings. But there are drops of blood all around the control panels and stuff. And all of those drops of blood match Aquiel, which is one of the two people who are supposed to be there. So Aquiel was bleeding at some point. There's some paste on the floor. And the other person is, his name's Rocha. So they, like, know that. And there's a shuttle missing. So this is where we're at. So we don't know who the stain is. We assume it's Aquiel.
I'm sorry. I need a shirt that says we don't know who the stain is.
We have
If that is what came out of us having to watch this garbage episode, then that was worth it right there.
But like, was it? But was it?
I'm trying my best, okay? Just let me try to live in... Okay. So it's not. But anyway, we don't know who the stain is. Yeah.
So we don't know who the stain is. We don't know who the stain is, but we have the blood samples spread around to make us think that it's probably Aquiel and maybe Rocha, like, took the shuttle and ran away. And so then the question is, like, well, did he, like, kill her and then run away? Or did he find her dead and then run away? Or was he running for his life? Or and the whole thing is that this outpost is really close to the Klingon border. So they're like, maybe there was some funny business with the Klingons. But Picard's like, we have been at peace with them for, like, 50 years. Why would they just randomly come on this random outpost and just, like, blast somebody into paste? Just out of the blue. They didn't take anything. It doesn't make any sense. So we're trying to get to the bottom of this. At this point, I'm kind of like, okay, well, this is an interesting mystery. Like, okay, like, let's see where it goes. So Geordi understandably goes to look at the logs and you're like, that makes sense. And it's like, oh, the logs are damaged. The logs are corrupted. I can't figure it out. So he finds his way to Aquiel's room and starts going through her personal logs because apparently that's the only thing unaffected on the whole ship. So we start getting these.
Which is so weird.
It's so bizarre. So we start getting, like, to know Aquiel through basically her diary entries. These are, like, letters to her sister, but they feel like diary entries where she's like, I had that dream where I was running up the hill and mother was, and you're
thank
just like,
you. Thank you.
Like, the first time you hear it, you're like, okay, I get that as a personal log. But the eighth time you hear it, you're just like, why are we?
Thank you.
This is not helpful.
I hate everything about these personal logs. I hate them because even when you give a personal log, you're like, that's so weird. I had that dream again. It was just, you know, but like part of, I think what makes Aquiel as a character so freaking unlikable is how like unmedicated bipolar she seems to me, where it's like swinging wildly from like one emotion to another, where it's like, I'm flirty. I'm cute. I'm scared. I'm angry. Don't do that. Who is that? Curiosity. It's like, what the F? How is anybody supposed to follow like what you're saying or what you're doing? Yeah. And her like personal logs are like, I had the dream again. I was so scared. It's like, girl, nobody talks like that. And this is really painful to have to listen to, like you said, like 8-10 times, because Jordy keeps like going over and over again, you know. And also it seems like whatever this recurring dream was that Aquiel was having, which has literally nothing to do with the story, like it seems like it's been happening a lot to her, and it is really bothering her because she mentions it like over and over and over and over and over again. But yeah, yeah, at what point you're like, is this going to lead to anything? And you're like, no, it won't. It won't lead to absolutely anything.
They do try to tie it in a bit, where they say like basically these recurring dreams is like her being afraid and feeling like trapped. And she's like, I remember father and the way he used to come home or whatever. So apparently there was an abusive father or something. And this ties in because she keeps talking about Rocha and how Rocha's like the worst and how he's like basically like the abusive father, how he's really scary and yells at her and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's always trying to like, you know, she's been here longer than him. And even though he's her boss, she doesn't like him and all this stuff. And you're like, oh my gosh, grow up, girl. Like, I know you don't like him, but you're in Starfleet. Like, get it together.
You're in the military. Stop complaining about your person you've been assigned to.
What do you expect? You don't always get to work with people you like. You didn't sign up to work with people you liked. You signed up to do a job and, you know, maybe put in for a transfer. Like, that's the best you can do. But anyways, so we're learning. So it's sort of a little bit tied in. And then at some point she mentions that there's this Klingon who has been coming by and bothering her because he's also bullying her. And the reason why I don't love Aquiel is this whole victim mentality that she seems to be like portraying of like the bad guys are all after me. Mm-hmm. Because I just feel like my life philosophy is that people are too concerned with their own lives to take time out of their day to try to ruin my life. Now, that's not always true. Some people are just trolls, but most people don't have the patience or the capacity to be a troll. They don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about your problems. They're worried about themselves. They're worried about their problems. Mm-hmm. So this whole like Roach is after me and now the Klingon's after me and everyone's after me. I'm like, you're not the center of the universe, girl. Like they're not. Morag, the Klingon, has his own agenda.
Stuff.
There's things he's doing for himself, for the Klingon Empire that has, you just happen to be there. And the same with Rocha. He's got a job and you're just like either a part of the solution or a part of the problem. So anyways, that makes Jordy go, aha, one of the Klingons must be behind it. So whatever. We don't need to talk about this. All that happens is that Picard goes to the Klingons. The Klingons bring Morag to the ship or whatever. Like they agree, like, okay, we'll get to the bottom of this. You know, there's some bluster on both sides and Picard threatens
to go.
Granted,
it's like right on the border of Klingon space. So it's like, let's tread carefully because we don't want to, you know, start some sort of conflict over whatever, but let's just figure this out. For me, the biggest sort of crime of the whole episode, but really it's really imminent in part one and part two, is Geordi's like inability. So far what we sort of understand is like the stain on the floor, that's the remains of Aquiel. We don't know where Rocha went. We don't know where the shuttlecraft is. It seems like she was attacked and killed, and then Rocha took off, or Morag took off. Like somebody took off, somebody's missing, right? So Jordy is here thinking Aquiel's dead, and he's trying to get through her logs, and he ends up figuring out how to like patch through because like the personal logs, like there's no video to it. It's all scrambly. And so he ends up, you know, Jordying his way to it and like getting a picture of her, and he sees her and he's like, hello. And then immediately he's in love with her. And I'm like, Jordy, oh my God, you really have a type, buddy. And your type is women who are not available.
Is unavailable lies. Women. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His type is unavailable women, which granted, I know people whose type are unavailable significant others because they feel like it's going to protect them from getting hurt if they're not fully invested or whatever. It doesn't matter. It never works. That does not work. Mm-hmm. So Jordy now has a crush on a dead woman and he's like drinking his tea and watching her video and pausing and staring at her and like trailing his fingers on the walls. And I'm like, Jordy, this is so fucking cringy, dude. What are you doing? He's laying in her bed while watching her video. I'm like, Jordy!
Cuddling up with her dog. And Riker,
which I get. I'm a dog person, so I'm like, yeah, you know, but like, no.
Riker sees this love blooming and it's just like, tell me about her. You know, he's playing like the good friend and he's like, tell me all about her. And he's like, Jordy's like, she's funny and she's smart and da da da. And you're just like,
she smells good. The dead woman? Okay.
So right. So Riker's aware that Jordy's falling for her, but it's kind of like a harmless crush since she, as far as we know, is not a ghost. Yeah. Instead, she's a stain, right? Yeah. So we're like, well, I mean, he just like admires this, you know, this person, whatever. So the Klingon Governor Torak comes to the observation lounge, like comes to the Enterprise as proof that they had nothing to do with this, that they were not, you know, behind it, because we find out that Morak was on the station and that there were a bunch of files missing and that he did steal the files but what he said was, I didn't kill anybody. I didn't do anything. I got onto the ship. There was no one there. It was totally deserted. So I just helped myself to some data files and I peaced out. That's all that happened. Because Aquiel had said, like, or because the idea was that no one had been on the ship. So we find out that he did steal some files, but he says he didn't kill anybody. But now we're like, but somebody had to kill somebody. But
you did, it's like, it's a little bit of like the cascade effect of confession, where it's like, I wasn't on the space station. Okay, maybe I was, but I didn't hurt anybody. Maybe I hurt somebody, but I didn't steal the file. Okay, well, maybe I stole the files, but I didn't kill anyone. It's like, okay, so now you just put on your best teacher or parent face and just sit there quietly and wait for them to fold like fresh laundry and be like, fine, I killed them. You know, like, all right, I didn't need to say anything. Yeah.
You're like, glad we toughed that out to get to the actual truth.
Yeah,
so that's what he's saying. So Governor Torak is like, he comes onto the observation lounge. He's like, I can prove to you that we weren't behind this. And so we're all like, you know, Jordy's all like, I'd like to see that proof. And then two security guards come in and they throw Aquiel into the room. And you're like,
and she's alive.
And she's alive. I mean, she's got like a cute little cut on her forehead or something, but she's fine. Like, she's got some scrapes and bruises. She's totally alive. And then you're like, whoa, this whole time we thought she was dead, brutally murdered by her, you know, coworker. And now we're like, wait, if she's alive,
then where's Rocha?
Then who brutally murdered her coworker? Because Rocha was not on the shuttle with her.
Because there's a stain now on the,
we still have
on
the stain.
Deck plate.
Yeah.
Which also, I feel like Beverly has been able to do these like miraculous feats of like medical technology.
Yeah.
And you're telling me you can't take like a Q-tip and just swab a little bit of the cellular residue and throw that shit on some agar plate and just see what grows. She's, I mean, 90% of the episode, she's like, we still can't isolate the cellular residue from the deck plate. Girl, you're not trying to separate the salt out of like a marinara or anything. You know what I mean? Like, you just take a little culture and you like,
the funny thing is we have the technology today to figure that out.
So Beverly being like, now. I still can't isolate it. What? Okay. But yeah. So,
but she didn't have to reconstruct it. It wasn't just isolation. She had to reconstruct it because she said it was like, not disintegrated, not dissolved, but something like that. It was like,
like it had broken down too much.
But yeah, like it had all broken down, like all the cells and all the DNA broke down and melted into the metal. So she had to reconstruct.
Wow, that's a really high setting. That's a really high setting on that phaser.
Exactly. Like, and that's what they
said.
Not
just disintegrate, but DNA disintegration and reabsorption into metal. Yes. That's woof.
It's high. And that's what they were saying. Jordy was like, a phaser couldn't do that, but a Klingon disruptor could. And that's why they were like, Morag, we see you. And he's like, dude, I didn't kill anybody. I just stole some stuff and I left.
I just did some crimmy type stuff, but I'm not a full-blown criminal. Okay.
Exactly. Like, I was only on the fringes of that crime. The very fringes.
100%. But so here's where things, this is the like part two, right?
Yes. Part two. Found. Aquiel's alive.
She's alive. Now, I immediately hate her. Okay. And here's why. Whenever people are like, all I know is that I was being attacked and then I don't remember what happened. I must have blacked out. And the next thing I knew, I was washing the blood off my hands and there were guns everywhere, but I didn't do it. It's like, okay, I'm going to stop you right there. We need to back way up. Okay.
You like, only blacked out on the part where you could have committed the crime, but the rest.
Exactly. The only incriminating part of it is where you blacked out. Okay. I'm always so suspicious when people put the whole, the next thing I knew, I was driving away with blood and guns in my hands kind of thing where you're like, and I love that Riker is like, are you absolutely sure you can't remember what the F went down? Cause like now we've got like murder case on our hands, you know, like there's a residue, must be Rocha or something. Like, what is going on? You know, the Klingons, of course, get super uppity because at even being suspected of foul play, you know, but like, again, there's just a lot going on here. Like, Jordy is like already infatuated with this unavailable woman. So now she's not dead. It's like, this is great. Like, he moves in for the kill. Girl, before you know it, they're making out and shit. I'm like, Jordy.
Yeah. He goes to get her Coco Nono real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like leaning against the door jam. And he's like, hey, girl, are you hungry? Yeah. See, now, exactly. Okay. Now, while all this is happening, too, like, he's going around the ship with her, right? He takes her to 10 forward. They're on a fucking date, even though she's a murder suspect, which is so weird. But, like,
I felt like that was a bad idea. I was like, she's so bad. Let's, like, just clear her first. I don't know.
You know, just.
Because you're going to be so sad if you have diligence. To put her in prison forever. Like, you're
right,
because so
now you love her, right? So this is the thing, too, that, like, really rubs me the wrong way about Akuiel. It's like, she's really bubbly and happy on this date. And then she's like, which to me is just super suspicious, given this deep trauma. Like, she was just found in a shuttlecraft covered in blood with a missing phaser that, like, Worf was like, oh, we discovered that a phaser was, like, missing or whatever. And they found it in the shuttlecraft and it's set to kill. So it's like, there's a whole lot of trauma. And she's like, I'm on this date. Amazing. Yeah. So cute. I missed you. Oh my God. I love Coco. No. What the F is going on with this woman? And I just wrote weird, 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 weird. All of this is weird.
Yeah. Every so place weird. you wrote weird. I wrote dumb, but yeah, like the idea of, like, why, yeah, you're absolutely right, is like her reactions seem inappropriate to the situation. And also, I would have to say the evidence to me seems very compelling that she disintegrated Rocha, like the phaser. She said Rocha attacked her, she doesn't remember what happened, a phaser was missing, it was in her pocket, there's blood everywhere, Rocha's dead, she was found in the shuttle, like
She has no recollection of what happened. Okay.
Right. But the circumstantial evidence, like, even being her, I would feel like, I'd be like, shoot, did I do that? Did I kill him? I don't remember it, but maybe I did, because the evidence is pretty strong. I wouldn't be like, I don't remember anything. But one thing I do know is I would never kill another person. You don't know that. Maybe you don't know. You blacked out conveniently in the one spot when you could have killed somebody out of very understandable self-defense that you just explained. But then quickly said, but I don't remember, but for sure I didn't fire and I didn't hurt anybody.
Right. And then also the other thing that you've said that you really dislike, and I dislike too, as well as the, like, victim mentality that people, like, the whole world, like, everything that goes wrong in their life, somebody did to them.
Yeah.
We find it, like, so obviously from the beginning, like, Akuiel's personal logs are like, Roach is the worst. He's driving me crazy. Actually, not really, girl. We find out that, like, from Akuiel's previous commander, that they transferred her to this, like, cardboard box in space because she was hampering their work. She was being difficult and a general pain in the ass.
Basically a horrible person to work with.
Yes, she was horrible to work with. And then we find out that, like, even Jordy somehow uncovered, and it doesn't even matter why, like, we Jordy uncovered that, like, she had been going out of her way to antagonize Rocha because she didn't like him. So it's like, oh, so you're the asshole. Okay. Right.
So why do you think Rocha was giving you a hard time? Because you were going out of your way to give him a
You're
hard time.
You're being a total asshole. And
you left all that out of your personal logs.
Yeah.
You...
Also, she also deleted a bunch of logs. It's like, girl.
Yeah. Oh, this is the thing. Yeah. After she's found, and, like, right after their dinner date, she immediately goes and deletes a whole bunch of logs. So the next day, Worf and Geordi are on the ship, like, back on the little space station or whatever. And Geordi's like, wait a minute, what happened to these files? And he sees, like, it was remotely accessed from the Enterprise and a whole bunch of stuff was deleted. So he knows it's her. So he goes to her and he's like, after I left you last night, you deleted a bunch of files? This is a murder investigation. What is wrong with you? And of course she goes, well, yeah, I did, just because I didn't want anyone getting the wrong idea and thinking that I was guilty. Wait a minute. So you removed evidence because you didn't want to look guilty. Guess what that does to you? It makes you look guilty.
Guess what, girl? That's what happened. And you know what? And I totally get that. Like, I don't watch as much crime stuff as you do. I know you really love, like, crime.
I really do.
Stuff. But I will say, if I were suspected of, like, some really serious crime and I didn't do it, I would immediately want to, like, panic and flee as well. Cause I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen to me? Right. But you also have to understand that makes you look inherently guilty as fuck. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. Right. And so it turns out, like, she's been antagonizing Rocha because she doesn't like it because she's a victim and the whole universe is against her or whatever. And it's like, well, now I'm against you for sure because you've done... Now, Geordi...
I'm on the universe's side in this one.
I'm on the universe's side on this one. I'm like, you are the asshole. Like, what the hell? So Geordi tries to, like, calm her down because she pulls this bullshit sweetheart damsel in distress move, which I hate. And Geordi just melts all over. Like, he starts stroking her face, he's kissing her, and I'm like, buddy, you need to step back. You've clearly overstepped your professionalism in like the biggest way. And even Riker is like, I'm going to tell you this as a friend. This is not an official, like, anything for your record, but you are too personal with her. You clearly are not thinking objectively about this. You're not seeing this clearly, like this, you know. And Geordi's like, if you'll excuse me, I have to get back to work. I'd be like, didn't you just hear what I said? You're like, you're relieved of duty until this whole investigation is done. Like, you're done. You're go to your quarters.
It as a friend, but now I'm saying it as a boss because you didn't listen.
Yeah, because you're not taking the feedback at all. Like, you know what? Maybe you're not relieved of duty, but like, you're off the case with this, and you're not to have any contact with Aquial until we get some better idea of what's going on here.
I will say, yay for Geordi that he found a relationship that was better than his one with Dr. Brahms, seeing as how she was married. But then boo because
and also
like,
a holodeck character
and also holodeck character. But then it's like boo because it's a murder suspect. So you know,
I just want Geordi to have like a normal, healthy relationship. But the man seems to like specifically choose really horrible matches, and it makes me sad for him because otherwise he's a really great guy. But man, he sucks in this area.
He
really does.
So. That's pretty much part two. Part two is like, we found Aquiel. Now we find out that she was actually the problem. It wasn't everyone else in the world. She's deleting files. She's acting super sus. But then she's making out with Geordi. So Geordi's like, you can't be guilty. You got to be innocent.
Mm-hmm.
So later on, so now switching to the twist. Now we're in part three. There is
you call Aquiel's- it the twist. I call it the quit. Because that's when I was like, I'm done. I called it the quit, but yes, let's do it. I mean, we made it this far, girl. On to the breach.
So they're in Aquiel's quarters on the station. Why is she on the station? Crime scene. Like, these people
again,
never watch an episode of CSI.
We don't even have to throw her in the brig. Can't we just confine her to quarters with, like, one dude outside?
Or just confine her to the Enterprise? Like, and maybe not
like,
give her
you
remote
don't need-
access to the station?
Why would you have a murder suspect free range access to the crime scene? Why?
Yeah. Like, deactivate her command codes or something so you can investigate without her deleting files. Anyways. So
doesn't matter.
So they're in her quarters and she's like, Geordi, I have a way for us to connect even better. And she pulls up this crystal, which to me was like a Hellion Horgon. Right. Like how she's describing it. It's like,
it gives me man of the people vibes.
That's
when
exactly what I wrote in my notes.
Thank
I was
you.
Like,
okay.
Don't do it, Geordi. Don't do it.
Yeah. Don't do it, Troy. You're going to turn really old and psycho. Yeah.
Yeah. She's going to suck at all the good things about you. And she just looked really creepy too. When she did it, it wasn't seductive to me. It was creepy. And I was waiting for something horrible to happen. So she's like, you know, holding out this magic crystal and he's like touching the magic crystal and he's taken off his visor. So he's blind. But the crystal's supposed to like telepathically connect them or something. And so as they're doing it, he starts to be able to see like through her eyes or something like
that. By the way, Geordi, I know you want to like get in between the sheets with this girl. You could keep your visor on, buddy, because now you're literally blinding yourself and she's already seeming sus AF. Like this is like when he takes off his visor, I was like, people have sex with the lights on, you know, like that you can do that. Like you don't have to like literally remove any potential for like self-protection possible. Mm-hmm. it just spiraled where I was like, oh, wow. Like I felt like an elevator going down where I was like, oh, we're going deep. There's further to go.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going further down.
Maybe this was like a show of like the vulnerability or something like that he felt, the point where he could just be so exposed and like not even be able to see and still be really happy.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the point is what they don't know as they're sitting here getting close with the super creepy crystal is that back in sick bay, Beverly's been doing some experiments with the stain. And she's like, okay, I think there's a way for me to reconstitute the DNA in it. We're going to hit it with this, like, you know, these beams or whatever. And it's going to cause the DNA to like suddenly magically reconstruct. So she hits it with the beams. And then she's like, for some reason that didn't work. I mean, something's happening, but it's not going as fast as I thought.
Yeah.
And as she's like thinking about it, the goo reaches up and touches her hand, which to me was very much Ghostbusters 2 vibes.
Yep.
Like that's exactly what that goo would do. It'd jump up and touch people and grab people and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it touched her hand. I was waiting for it to like snag her, but it didn't. It just touched her. And when it touched her, she was like, oh my gosh. And she backed up. And then suddenly it formed a perfect Beverly hand replica, which I was blown away by this. Did you deep dive how they made that hand?
I did not. That was spectacular. I did not deep dive how they made it. I mean, I was just so over this episode. I was like, please just make it stop. But okay, it was a perfect Beverly hand. Yeah. I'm imagining some kind of silicone something, but they did a beautiful job. So yeah, now it's like, there is like a deep mystery here. Like there's a mystery as to what the F is going on with Aquiel, but Aquiel just kind of seems like an asshole. So it's like, whatever. But like this goo that can touch something and then take that shape. Yeah. Like to a cellular level. That's like, I would have liked, now if we would have done an AB plot twist or like a plot flip where that was 90% of it and Aquiel's bullshit and Jordy's like, nonsense. Ridiculous behavior was like part, just a small part. It'd be like, okay, like this would have actually been a great episode because then you have like a real sci-fi on your hands.
I agree. This gel was so interesting. I was like, really? Wait a minute. It's goo that just perfectly mimics. And at this point, because I've forgotten how the stupid episode went, I was like, oh, it's just goo that like mimics stuff. Cool. I didn't know it like
mimic goo. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know it like had a personality or thoughts or anything. I just thought it was like goo that mimics stuff. But Beverly comes to find out that this goo can really, that it's an organism. That it's kind of like yeast or something, but like on a giant macro scale, it's an organism that a coalescent organism. So it can mimic something entirely, like every part of that something, and go around living its life as the something that it completely absorbed. So it can touch, you know, Beverly. And if it had grabbed Beverly and like, you know, clung onto her, it would have completely absorbed Beverly and then become Beverly.
Yeah. So like Beverly would not, Beverly would be dead. Yeah.
Beverly would be dead. But this like creepy clone would be Beverly, like in every sense of the word. Like you could scan her, it'd be Beverly. She would make jokes like Beverly. She'd have the same, you know, taste in music as Beverly, which is crazy to me. Like that is such a mind blow. That is so interesting. If this episode was about that creature and its life, this is like Trill 2.0. This is like another level of that idea, which would be fascinating, but it wasn't. It was just a throwaway part that was really the only good part about the episode as far as sci-fi goes. But so she figures this out and she's like, okay, wait a minute. So I think Riker and Picard are in sick bay and they're all talking about this amazing goo. And they're like, wait, so if this can like absorb somebody, what if Rocha wasn't really Rocha because he was out in some remote place and this organism, of course, has to live in a remote place.
Of course.
Before he got assigned to the station. So what if he was absorbed by an organism and never actually left that planet? Like he was absorbed, he was killed and turned into this goo. And the goo is what got assigned. And the goo was on the space station the whole time living its life with Aquiel. And then they're like, wait, so if that's true, maybe Rocha really did attack her because she did have blood all over the console. So something happened, right? They're like, maybe he really did attack her and his attack was trying to absorb her because they calculated that something this big would need a couple days before it needed to absorb something else, like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, which by the way, this whole hate relationship that she had with Rocha, he'd only been on the space station for like 4 or 5 days.
For five like, freaking days.
The way days. That she was talking about him was like, he's been the bane of my existence for the last 9 months or whatever. Yes. And they're like, oh, he got here on Thursday and it's Tuesday. Okay.
Yes, I thought the same thing. What? When they were like, oh, it takes 5 days. I was like, wait a minute. And then she did say like earlier, I think Jordy said like, why do you have so much tension after only 5 days? And it was like, 5 days? 5 days? You couldn't get along with this dude for 5 days. Girl, you need to be on an assignment by yourself. Because that's insane. Like, or maybe
some sort of solitary mission in a jettison pack going really fucking far somewhere, whatever.
It's not for you. Because you can't get along with somebody for 5 days. So so they were like, every 5 days, like the organism's going to need to absorb something. So then they're like, oh, shoot. So did it absorb Aquiel? And they were like, or it could have absorbed Morag. And they're like, oh, and we won't know for like another day or something. It's like getting to that 5 day mark again at this point, where it's going to need to absorb someone else. Right.
Well, the question also is like, or is Aquiel the coalesced thing?
So is it Aquiel or is it Morag? Because those are the only two on the ship at the time that Rocha died. And Rocha must be this stain. Like this is what's left of Rocha.
Yeah. Yeah. So while they're figuring that out, I do like that Worf and Security bust in on Morag and they're like, we need you to come with us right now. And he's like, what? And they're like, just come with us. Just whatever. Because they need to watch him and make sure he doesn't turn into like the raspberry jam. And
swallow somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Now, God damn it. Geordi is all deep in his utter failure with women. He's over here doing the whole crystal bond with Aquiel. The crystal's starting to glow. And she's like, get ready, Geordi. You're about to get your mind blown or whatever the F. And then like, thank God Riker busts in. And I tell you, authoritative Riker is very sexy because he comes in with this face and he's like, move away from him. And she's like, what? And of course, Geordi gets between Riker and Aquiel and he's like, Commander, what are you doing? Geordi, take a seat, dude. Take a seat. Like, so, you know, Aquiel is like, this can't be right. What are you doing? Why are you pointing to that? You know, and Riker's like, I said move. And I was like, oh, yes, sir. Like, let me move. Like, authoritative Riker, sexy.
But I was like, thinking in this scene, I was waiting.
He's like, move over.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. In that scene when Geordi's like between him and the phaser, between Aquiel and the phaser, and Riker's like, move, I kept waiting, because I didn't remember how the stupid episode went. I kept waiting for Aquiel to turn into the goo monster and just like snatch Geordi. I was like,
that's what
happen.
I thought too.
It's gonna happen. I thought she was gonna do it earlier with the crystal, actually.
That's what, yeah, I thought it was going to be either like the man of the people with that dude who like takes all of Troy's like positive energy or whatever, mm-hmm. or like, I thought it was going to be something like that, or it was, she was going to, that was her moment to strike, right?
Yeah, and then he would have like, turned around and been like, Aquiel, not Aquiel. No. And yeah, exactly. And then they would have like blasted it and it would have just been paste on her floor. And he would have been like, no, but I loved her. Riker, you killed her. And he would have been like, I just saved your life, Geordi.
Yeah.
And he would be like, and then they would have shown up in 10 forward and Riker would have been like, sorry, Geordi, but there's more fish in the sea. And Geordi would have been like, you're right. You're right. Still sad, though. And then they go off into space.
See,
like, that's how
see,
I thought the episode
see,
was going
to
go.
That's where I feel like we just need to stop the episode right now, because that makes way more sense.
That's how it, right? That, just like, yes. That. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in my mind, this episode doesn't exist. In my mind, this episode doesn't exist. But if it did exist, that's how it would end. And that's what I'm going to write as the ending in my mind. Because, guys, it gets even worse. It gets even worse. I like, how much more shrill could I possibly get? Like, can you tell how bad I am? So, you know, Geordi's about to get eaten or whatever the hell is going to happen. And Riker busts in and saves, you know, breaks up their little gem party. And like, cut to Riker giving Geordi a debrief. I guess some time has passed. Geordi's back on the Enterprise. Riker comes to Geordi and gives him a debrief about the whole thing. Right. And Geordi thinks that while he's getting this really devastating information about like potentially Aquiel as some sort of coalesced thing, or like maybe Rocha was or something, while he's getting this really bad news, he decides the best way to get the bad news is to recline in bed with the dog and cuddle while Riker's talking to him. And I'm like, man, why is this even happening to us? What? Why?
This was time 47 that Andrea wrote that in her notes.
It really was.
So Riker tells him, like, you know, we're going to keep an eye on them. They're going to be in, like, Space Station 12 or whatever it was. Like, we're going to keep them under observation. And if they don't turn into coalescent goo, you know, they'll be released. And he said there's still a chance it could have been Morag. Like, it might not be Aquiel at all.
Yeah, trying to, like, really comfort. It could have been Rocha. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, trying to comfort Geordi. Well, it was Rocha for sure. But trying to comfort Geordi. And Geordi's just like, yeah, okay. So then Riker's like, all right, buddy. So he leaves. And the Geordi goes to sit at his desk to, I don't, write in his journal.
Get some
I don't
work
know what
done,
he's doing.
Maybe? I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing. But he goes to sit at his desk, and you're just like, okay, this is kind of, okay, whatever. And then the dog jumps off the bed and comes to, like, nip at his ankles. And you're like, that's a little weird. And he's like, get off me, dog. And the dog's like, burf, burf, burf. And he's like, get off me. And the dog just, like, keeps coming. And he's like, stop it. Like, get away from me, dog.
So he like, kind of kicks the dog away. I was like, geez.
Oh, my God. Like, get away. And then the dog runs, like, to the other side of the bed. And just sits there and stares at him. And Geordi turns around to keep doing his work. And you're like, okay, that was weird. Then the dog melts into the goo. The coalescent organism all along was the dog. And you're just like, Geordi, it's behind you. Behind you, Geordi. But Geordi's like still writing in his journal. And for some reason, he turns around, which I don't even know what made him turn around. But he turns around in time to see this giant goo lunge at him. Because now the goo is like really fast. It doesn't ooze. It doesn't slime. It just like jumps in front of him. So Geordi goes to run for the door, but the goo blocks his passage. So he can't go through to the door.
Because the goo, like, now knows like
where the exits are. And you're kind of like, if you could have lunged to block the exit, you could have just lunged at Geordi. But whatever. So it blocks the exit and is like,
girl, why are we even trying to insert logic into this? Like,
so Geordi runs to his like bedside table, which now he has a bedside table, and pulls out a phaser.
Which has a phaser in it. Yeah.
That's where we keep our phasers. And he sets it to level 10 and he starts blasting at the goo, which all this time is not approaching him. It's just blocking the door.
Hovering. Yeah.
Yeah. Just chilling. And so he blasts the goo and keeps
like
blasting.
Computer force field there. That's it.
Security to my quarters. I don't, like, so many things. The goo
could have
like,
been a lot of things. Yeah.
But thankfully he was a quick thinker to like pull out his firearm and he blasts the goo into a stain on his carpet. And that's what happens. So it was like, I did write in my notes, oh, it's the dog, because I honestly did not remember. I didn't remember about the coalescent organism. I didn't remember about the shapeshifter. I didn't remember any of that.
I didn't even remember Aquiel. And then when we thought she was dead, I didn't remember she was alive. And when she was alive, I didn't remember she was such a dick. And then when she was such a dick, I didn't remember she was trying to seduce him with a crystal. I didn't remember any of this. Same. Yeah.
I remembered the Aquiel episode. I thought she went missing mysteriously and was never found. That's all I remember about this episode. So same. Yeah. Every single scene, I was like, oh, didn't remember any of it. So,
and then the dog goo happens and you're like, oh.
So that's okay. That. And we end up in 10 forward with Jordy and Aquiel on another date because now they've been released since they were not the coalescent. So yay. And, you know, Aquiel's like, oh, my poor dog. I can't believe it. And you're just like, okay, whatever. And then Jordy tries to offers to get her a post on the Enterprise by pulling some strings. And Aquiel.
Yeah, because she's such a stand-up officer.
Right. Like, Jordy, you would regret that decision because people would be complaining about her left and right. And you'd be like, no, you just don't understand her. You just don't understand who she is. No. So thankfully, he didn't put his reputation on the line for that because that would have bit him in the butt. But she wisely says, thanks, but no thanks. I'd rather get to the Enterprise on my own merits and not because I'm sleeping with the boss. So right. Good for her, because she never got on the Enterprise. That's a Where Are They Now? She's not there. She's not on the Enterprise.
This is a character I actively don't want to Where Are They Now. Like, I don't care. Yes. I mean, I hate the ending to this because I was really hoping that the reason
be the coalescent. Oh.
Yes. I was really hoping she would be the coalescent that might describe why she was being so bizarre and horrible, right? But it's like, oh, you're just a bizarre and horrible fucking person. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Really, really glad I stuck through 45 minutes to learn that. And the dog never wanted to do anything to anybody. And so I guess what we're supposed to understand is that Rocha, on some previous posting somewhere remote, got hit by a blob monster, got turned into the coalescing blob monster, came to this studio apartment in space, was rubbing Aquiel the wrong way, went to attack her. She somehow got away, so it turned to the dog because that was the only thing left living in the space station. So when it absorbed the dog, its extra blobbiness got left residue or whatever. Yeah. And then now the dog has just been sitting there waiting for somebody to come along for the last 4 days to let it blob. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen an episode this bad since season one, I'm telling you. And I say that not to be a dick, I genuinely really, really love TNG so much. That's why we have a whole podcast of it, because we love it. But this is so bad. It's so bad.
Yeah,
none of it makes sense.
So my final thoughts were, if you haven't seen this episode, or if you haven't seen it in a while,
please don't.
Go ahead and give it a skip. Yeah. Go ahead and give it a skip.
You're welcome in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my final thoughts were, I never want to talk about this again. That was it. I mean,
yep, we're done.
You know, I think your method of watching Ship in a Bottle second after this was brilliant, because you got left with a good taste in your mouth and I did not, and I'm just really bitter about it. But we did promise when we started this podcast that we wouldn't skip any episodes, we'd watch them all. The amazing, the good, the fabulous, and the seven really
and the
shitty
Aquiels.
Ones. Yeah, and the Aquiels. And the we would do that for you guys. The good, the bad, and the Aquiels, yeah. If we had to redo this episode, or if we had to fanfic this, I would 100% do an A plot, B plot swap and learn more about the coalescence. Maybe do some sort of warp signature residue to backtrack where they came from. So then you could go to their home planet and try to figure, I don't know, something. But instead we have Jordy acting with the emotional intelligence of a 12-year-old boy, which there's nothing wrong with 12-year-old boys, but he's not a 12-year-old boy. He's a 45-year-old man. And you're like, buddy, what the hell are you doing? And Aquiel just being a loose cannon and 100% showing us why she's been reassigned over and over again. Cause she just is a loose cannon that's kind of really bad at her job and an asshole to boot. We could have just kept that for 7 minutes of the episode and done the coalescing thing. That would have been amazing. Yeah. That would have made it great.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah. We're not requesting a fanfic on this one because we just don't want to talk about it again.
Talk about what again? This never even happened. All right. On that note, we're done. Okay. So guys, next week we are breaking down season 6, episode 14, Face of the Enemy, which is guaranteed to be better than this one. Thank you guys so, so much for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for geeking out with us. Be sure to join the crew at thetngpodcast.com to be the first to know when we do our live shows or host events exclusively for our members. We'll see you next time.